And welcome back to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. I'm Chris Carter here with my friend and co-host Dale Lolly. We're keeping it rolling here during the Steelers bye week. They may have the weekend off, but we do not. So we're breaking it down for you here all through the weekend. Now, Dale, this is the Steelers have certainly bounced back. They're 3-3 now. Everyone's talking about, you know, the problems they have, but there's also good things that are going on. And I think the biggest thing that has turned around for them is definitely the run game. When we talked about, you know, this offensive line, we said before the season started, it was going to take time for this offensive line to gel. You know, you had two rookies on it. You got a bunch of guys that have never played together. They didn't play all through training camp together because they were hurt at different times. And now you're starting to see some semblance of a run game. What do you think is a realistic destination for where this offense is going? Because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger still not his sharpest, but with a run game, you could see a much more balanced attack to kind of complete get the Steelers going into the second part of their season.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative and it's all a work in progress here. You know, I know I just wrote a piece on the site about, you know, who's trending up, who's trending down. And I had, you know, the offensive line is my top thing trending up. I mean, I think they are playing better. You know, we haven't seen Roethlisberger hurried or hit like he was, you know, in the first month of the season, the first few games. And they've adjusted what they were doing in the running game. And that's a large part of it. You know, all the outside zone runs and things of that nature out the window, straight power running. Let's just run, you know, have Najee Harris run straight ahead, get the 230 pound guy running, you know, straight ahead. Don't worry about one cut or anything like that. Just do what you do best. And I think that fits, you know, especially for the interior guys, what they do best. You know, if you look at Trey Turner and the other two young interior guys, they're power blockers. They're, you know, they want to drive guys off the ball, and so they've done that. And I think that makes a big difference here. What that will do is open things up. You know, we've seen Roethlisberger, as I noted in my piece, he's hit five passes of 40 or more yards this year. That's mm-hmm. third most in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what he wasn't doing last year.
I agree.
You know, he was missing on those deep balls. So once you start to hit some of those deep balls, everything else kind of opens up because you're able to run the ball and the opposing defense sees that you're capable of hurting them down the field. That opens everything else up. And I know, like, even last week against Seattle jumped off sides on a play, and Roethlisberger and Deontay Johnson just missed hooking up in the end zone. Yep. I think the defensive back kind of got a hand in there. Call it a drop, call it whatever you want. Doesn't officially go as a drop because Deontay Johnson doesn't have a drop this year. Because it was a no play because of the penalty. But again, you put that on film that, you know, if we're not careful here, these guys can beat us over the top. That was what was missing last year.
I agree.
You know, and so, you know, I think being able to run the football makes that more dangerous. It just makes your offense more explosive. Now, whether that comes to fruition or not, whether we start to see that happening on the field, that remains to be seen. I know, you know, a lot of people looked at that Seattle game and said, why didn't the Steelers blow them out? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? The game was too close. They played that game very close to the vest. You didn't see the shots that you had seen against Green Bay or you know, some of the other stuff, because they felt like their defense would control the game. And if they didn't make the mistake, sooner or later, Geno Smith would.
Mm-hmm. And sooner or later, he did.
And sooner or later, and he eventually did. So, you know, sometimes you do what you have to do to win a game. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to be, oh, let's go out and put up 30 points here. Because you're trying to protect your defense a little bit as well. You know, you don't want them playing too many snaps. So, I like where the offense is headed. You know, I think that there are better days ahead here. You know, we just watched the Cleveland Browns on Thursday night play that same Denver team that the Steelers played 2 weeks ago and put 27 points up on the board against, and, you know, Cleveland put up 17, but if you watch the game, Cleveland did enough to win the game.
Right.
You know, that's all that matters in the NFL. Did you do enough to win the game? I don't care what the score was. I don't care about style points or all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. at the end of the day, did you win the game? That's all anybody asks at the end of the season. What was your record?
Exactly, because it doesn't matter your margin of victory in a lot of these games unless you get down to the craziest of tiebreakers, but that's not going to happen. You want to, your bottom line is you want more wins on your record than losses. And when you get to December, you're not going to care how you got those wins in September and October. You're just going to be like, oh, okay, we're 9-3. So now we got a good shot at making the playoffs. That's where, you know, you see these teams, and you're right. Like the Browns, they didn't ask Case Keenum to do anything. You know, they just ran the ball a whole bunch. And you know, yes, it was a 17-14 win, but it was a win regardless. And now they're 4-3. And you know, and that gives them a chance to rebound heading into next week when they play the Steelers. But the same thing with the Steelers, you know, Steelers fans aren't going to care how they barely beat the Seahawks in overtime if this team makes the playoffs. You know, that's part of how you win. And like you said, they knew that, you know, the Seahawks offense wasn't going to be all that in this game. I wanted to ask you.
They were also, Chris, you know, they defensively, they were playing things. I know people, well, they ran the football against.
That's what we're going to get to next.
So, yeah. So, yeah, they did. But the Steelers knew that the one thing that could happen that would keep the Seahawks more viable in this game was to give up a deep ball to one of those two wide receivers,
exactly.
Lockett or Metcalf. So they really, you know, they played things close to, you know, hey, we're going to just keep the safeties back. We're not going to, you know, play this. We're not going to be too aggressive here because DK Metcalf, 6'4", 230 pounds.
And runs like lightning.
We don't want, something happening here. And you give up a quick seven because that guy can do that.
I mean, you look at the games before that. Cortland Sutton beats him for a deep ball. Jamar Chase beats him for a deep ball. Henry Ruggs beats him for a deep ball. And those are all games that they either lost or were about to lose. And a deep ball played a huge part of it. You know, in fact, they were controlling the Broncos game until that deep ball to Cortland Sutton. So, you know, you against Geno Smith, I know some people are going to say, well, why are you scared of Geno Smith? Well, it's not that they're scared of Geno Smith. Any quarterback, if they have the arm enough to get it down the field and you leave a guy like DK Metcalf in single coverage or even Tyler Lockett, you can get beat, and you don't want to get beat with an easier play, with an easier splash play. That's why Mike Tomlin calls them splash plays. So you're going to force them, hey, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us in this way. And eventually the Seahawks committed to the run for two drives. And that's really all they had two touchdown drives and then a field goal in the end. You know, so that was people were like, oh, they didn't adjust. Like, well, they did adjust, and that's why the Seahawks weren't able to finish the game. If the Steelers didn't adjust, they would have kept running the ball down their throats, and then the Steelers would have lost the game. But you know, I get fans' anxiety. I mean, that's what fans do. It's how they operate. You know, and they're not paid to do this. They're doing this to have a good time, and when their team's in distress, they're like, ah, what's going on? But at the same time, you got to look at things from the perspective of, you know, knowing what a team's trying to do before a game. And like Dale said, they knew with Geno Smith in there, this was not going to be a Seahawks offense that dotted them up, that kept hitting, you know, consistent throwing play after consistent throwing. I mean, they were 3 of 12 on third down. Like, you know, that they kept this offense in check. So when you have an offense yourself that you're not, you know, this isn't the Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell years. This is, you know, you're still figuring out who you are. When you have that kind of an offense, you're like, you know what, let's let ourselves also not take the big risks, because if we start giving them turnovers, then we give that offense over there more chances at those big plays.
Yeah, you know, and the Steelers would have been turnover free in this game if not for the kind of a bizarre Roethlisberger turnover.
That was a weird one.
It's one of those things, you know, I wonder, and probably never get him to answer this question, but he's lost five fumbles this year, or no, he's fumbled five times. He's lost three of them this year. And that fumble on the, you know, fumbles are going to happen when you get hit in the pocket more. We know that.
Right.
And, you know, he was getting hit in the pocket more early in the season. But that pump fake or trying to tuck the ball away and losing the football, that's not something we usually saw Ben Roethlisberger do over the years. I mean, he was the king of the pump fake. I just wonder, you know, is his grip not as strong as it used to be because of the elbow injury? Did he lose some of that, you know, strength in his hands because of that, because that's usually a play that, you know, he makes, pulls the ball back down and tucks it back down and does something else with it. Over the years, he was the master of manipulating defenses with the pump fake. Not that that's what he was trying to do in that situation. His guy got covered up. The linebacker jumped mm-hmm. a route where mm-hmm. he was going to go with the football. So he tried to pull it back in and lost the football. That doesn't usually happen to him.
It does not. You see him really control those plays. That's something that he's done over the years. I mean, heck, he did it in the preseason. We saw in that Lions game, there was a pump fake where he faked out the camera, you know, but definitely, I mean, these are the physical constraints we're talking about here. You know, and some of these things have been bad luck, but the Steelers have had a lot of bounces not go their way this season, whether it's Roethlisberger's fumble. I mean, at the end of the game, when Minka Fitzpatrick, he punches the ball out of DJ Dallas and the ball bounces right back to him. I mean, it was just like, man, if that bounces the other direction, Minka Fitzpatrick's the superhero of this game, not TJ Watt, even though TJ Watt still would have had an amazing game. You know, and then the same thing for James Pierre forced a fumble, down the end of the fourth quarter. If that bounces the other way, the Steelers pick it up, they win the game there. And James Pierre.
There's always fumble luck involved with that. I remember back in, I want to say 2011 or 2012. I can't remember the year now. They won a ridiculous amount of time early in the season. The ball would be on the ground. I can remember one rolling right through Troy Polamalu's legs. They couldn't get a turnover to save their behinds. You know, and think about it, a ball rolling through Troy Polamalu's legs.
Right.
Of all people.
That's when you know you're cursed.
That's when you know things aren't going well for you in terms of turnovers, but it happens. That's why, you know, when teams get an inordinate amount of fumble recoveries, 1 year, it typically falls back to the norm. You know, it's a 50-50 proposition, really.
Right.
When you turn, you know, that's why you want to get interceptions. You know, they're not getting many of those. They've only gotten two in the first six games here. That needs to pick up a little bit. But, you know, the defense, I think, will be fine. They'll start to get the turnovers here. You know, things kind of balance out. They've got too many guys on their defense who are good at it. You know, Minka Fitzpatrick is great at forcing turnovers. Watt obviously is good at that. Joe Hayden over the length of his career has shown that he has good hands. We think that James Pierre has good hands. Cam Sutton was a guy last year who showed some ability to get the ball out. You know, so there's some guys there. Schobert's been a guy over the course of his career that when the ball is thrown in his direction, he usually catches it. So there's guys there that can turn the football over. Even Devin Bush, showed early in his career that he has that capability. So those will start to come. You know, sometimes that comes with pressure. And again, sometimes there's some fumble luck.
Absolutely. There's definitely a lot of luck that gets put involved there. We're going to be right back. When we come back, it's going to be picks time. Even though the Steelers are on a bye week, we're still going to give you all the picks for week 7 here in the NFL on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. Chris Carter here with Dale Lolly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here with Dale Lolly, breaking things down for you here on the Steelers bye week in week 7. Now, Dale, again, the Steelers don't play, but there's some really important matchups. But Dale, we have to address something that we did not address all week, and that's that when we played in fantasy football, I spiked you. It was ugly. It was disgusting. You was talking all that smack last week.
You beat me by 12 points.
I beat you by 12. Hey, guess what? Who said I was going to beat you with a backup quarterback and a backup running back? Ooh,
Your backup quarterback had 112 yards passing.
And
your
backup quarterback fantasy points.
Your backup quarterback is a fantasy quarterback. Hey, that's what he is.
Hey, I'll take it. He's playing fantasy football, man.
He's not good in reality. Jalen Hurts stinks. That was awful.
He's great for my awful team. So what you're saying is that your fantasy team got spanked by an awful quarterback. I'll take that.
No,
man.
My guy had 40 points.
Well,
unfortunately, Antonio. Will you be quiet for just a second? Unfortunately, Antonio Gibson decided he was going to take the second half of the game off against the Chiefs.
Call the ambulance for Dale Lolly's team. They got smacked.
It happened.
0-3.
You want to talk about fumble luck? Fantasy football is completely luck. In regards to that.
Last week when he was thinking he was going to beat me, y'all, he was saying, oh, I'm just better than you. Now that I beat him, it's a lot.
Who's winning picks?
Who's winning the picks? You know I don't track. I told you to track that because I don't.
You don't track it because you know I'm kicking your behind this year.
Please, you're not kicking anybody's behind.
Who called the Jaguars last week?
You did call the Jaguars, but then you called like three other ones wrong. Like, what was it? Let's see. Let's go through here. I'm trying to get through all the games here. You had the Browns. I had the Cardinals. Let's see. You didn't have the Browns.
That's documented. I picked those in the Observer Reporter as well. I had the Cardinals.
Okay, whatever. Listen, buddy, you had the one pick you had. I know that you were wrong about like two others. I just can't remember what they were. Because it's like, you write it down. You do something for this. I edit the show. I record the show. I post the show. You do something for this show, buddy.
I write 17 stories a week on the website. Is that enough?
No, it's not enough. You know that's not enough.
Didn't you read DK site stuff this week? It's all about the written word.
It's all about the written word. Anyways, just know that I spanked Dale Lally in fantasy football last week, and I'll do it again.
I still get a better record.
Yeah. But fantasy football is like. Anyways, all right.
I'm still leading my division. You're in third place in yours.
That's cool. I told you we on the rise because many people despise me. Let's go. All right. Let's keep it rolling here. Now we're gonna lead off with the big game of the weekend for the AFC North, and that's the 4-2 Bengals at the 5-1 Ravens. The Bengals have continued to show like, hey, it wasn't lucky to start the season. Our defense is better than you gave it credit for. Joe Burrow's putting it together. Jamar Chase is a playmaker. He's exactly who they drafted him to be. But the Ravens continue to find ways to win. And you know what? There were a lot of those wins early on, Dale, that I was like, man, the way they won against the Lions, the fumble against the Chiefs, and like I was like, I'm not so sure. They put a whooping on the Chargers last week, and I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought they could win. I didn't think they could win like that. I'm going with the Ravens at home. That was too dominant a win last week. I think it's gonna be really interesting though to see what Joe Burrow does.
I think the Bengals will keep it close, but I think the Ravens will win at home.
Yeah, just they're playing too good football. Washington at Green Bay. I mean, look, Taylor Heineke, I love you, man, but they're not playing well enough to take on the Packers right now.
No, I take the Packers at home too.
Here's a weird one. 2-3 Falcons and 1-5 Dolphins. I mean, what are we even doing here? Why didn't they just put this game in London? No one really cares about it. I'm going with the Falcons though, just because even though the Dolphins, I think they'll be getting a couple people back this week. You saw Tua starting to connect with Waddle and stuff, but man, I just, when you lose to Urban Meyer, there's some problems there. So I'm gonna go with Atlanta.
I'm gonna go with a tie.
Oh man. All right. If you land this, you win. You just win. It's over.
I'm gonna go with the Falcons. The Dolphins are in a bad spot.
They really are. I mean, there's all this talk about trading for Deshaun Watson and just all sorts of bad things. But anyway, so we both got the Ravens, the Packers, and the Falcons. AFC East matchup here: 1-4 Jets at 2-4 Patriots. I mean, the Patriots actually looked kind of good against the Cowboys. The Jets never look good. I'll roll with the Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots already spanked them once. I think they'll do it again.
Yeah, Panthers at Giants. Panthers 3-3, Giants 1-5. Both teams missing their superstar running backs, but I'm still going with the Panthers. They're just a better roster from top to bottom.
Yeah, I think their defense will rule the day, and I think Sam Darnold and his return to New York, return to the Meadowlands will be good.
Well, he already returned. It beat the Jets. It was in the revenge game. So now he gets to do the full tour.
That was in Carolina. This is his first one.
I see what you're saying. But if he could beat both New York teams,
he's already escaped. He's already been like Snake Plissken here. He escaped from New York once. Now he's coming back for round two, the sequel.
Jeez, Snake Plissken. You are so old. My goodness. Anyways.
You can watch these movies now.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you can. But you are still old. I've watched a lot of these things, but you can't. Come on now. Anyways, Chiefs at Titans. Chiefs are 3-3. Titans 4-2. Titans, that confident win against the Bills last week. Dale, do they keep it rolling this week against the Chiefs? I think they do. The way Derrick Henry's running the ball, I think the Chiefs are going to have some problems. I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to go with the team that's running the ball effectively, and that's the Titans.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
All right, we got to split.
I think they pull it out. I think Ryan Tannehill's playing poorly.
He's not playing good. He's not playing well. I agree with that. Like a lot of people are like, oh, Ryan Tannehill. I'm like, this is Derrick Henry and then everyone else.
It's Derrick Henry in the pips, much like Cam Hayward in the pips.
0-6 Lions at 5-1 Rams. Here's your Rams. Survivor pick of the week. We're just picking the Rams. No questions here. 2-4 Eagles at 4-2 Raiders. A Super Bowl 15 rematch here, Dale. Your boy, Jalen Hurts. Is he going to do some damage? I'm going with the Raiders.
I mean, seriously, Jalen Hurts could be like the number 5 scoring player in or quarterback in fantasy football by like week 10 and get benched. He's awful.
Listen, man. He's asked to do too much. I will say this. The Eagles are putting everything on him. The Eagles are putting. He's under
at some point. Quarterback has to be able to throw the football.
Listen, but he can't do it. Like, as much as people were saying, "Oh, Ben has no time." Look at those Eagles games. As soon as the ball snaps, Jalen Hurts is just running. He's like, "Look, listen, we got to keep it going here."
That's because that's his first instinct. He's not good.
I mean, I'm not saying that he is good, but I'm saying he's. I think that he needs to be in a much better situation than that. I mean, and they won't run the ball with Miles Sanders, which is so bizarre. But
they get Gardner Minshew sitting on a bench. Wouldn't surprise me if Hurts gets pulled at some point this year.
I mean, if they keep losing, I think they will explore that opportunity there. They did bench Hurts at the end of the season last year, and that was just a weird situation with Todd Peterson. But are we both going with the Raiders here?
Yeah.
I just think they're a better team. And the way they responded to the Gruden situation last week, I was impressed by keeping it together, because that is not easy to do when the distractions of national media are just coming down upon you and that, you know, in having to focus in those moments against a divisional opponent. Another survivor pick here that I think a lot of people could pick, the Texans at the Cardinals. I mean, we're just picking the Cardinals. There's no
question. Yeah. The ghost of the Cardinals could win that game.
Right. The Bears at the Bucks. Now the Bears, there's some people trying to say like, oh, the Bears could sneak them because the Buccaneers are hurt up right now. No Antonio Brown. I think
LaVonte Bears beat them last year too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. There's a possibility.
This is your Bear team. This is your chance.
This is my Bear team.
Your
my
Bear Chicago team.
Bears. I'm not taking the bait. I'm going with the Buccaneers.
Where do you think they were making the playoffs this year?
I thought their defense them. Would be a little bit better than they were. David Montgomery's hurt. I thought that they'd be able to get a couple earlier season of wins. I thought they beat the Browns.
You had them as like an 11-win team.
I didn't say 11 wins. I said like 9-8 and make the wild card. I didn't have them winning the NFC North. Chill with that stuff, sir. I never said those things, but I did say that the Bears.
Yeah, but they're gonna blitz Justin Fields getting off the bus, and he doesn't handle that well.
Yeah, and the Buccaneers, despite all their injured players, they still got a lot of good ones that are going to make this a win. Buccaneers win. Sunday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts at the San Francisco 49ers. Two teams I can't really figure out who the heck they are. The Colts are 2-4. The Niners are 2-3. The Colts had that just collapse of a loss against the Ravens a couple weeks back where they were, that was the Frank Reich offense. And then that was like, oh, that's the Frank Reich collapse because they fell apart. I'm going with the Niners just because I think that they'll be able to get things going with Deebo Samuel. They'll test that Colts secondary, and I think their defense will cause more problems than the Colts defense.
This is the DeForest Buckner revenge.
Oh,
game.
I forgot about DeForest. You're right.
I think he's going to be a home wrecker in this game. Jonathan Taylor is the best player on the field. They just need to give him the ball more.
Yeah, you do.
That's the other. He got 14 carries last week. He had 148 yards on 14 carries.
Guess who's on Fat Tails Fantasy's team?
Did you see? He had 2 carries in the first half of that game.
I was laughing from my hotel room in New York City.
He finished with 150 total yards and had 2 touches in the first half. What in the hell? That's coaching malpractice. That is coaching malpractice. Give the ball to Jonathan Taylor. He might be the best back in football, not named Derrick Henry. He's going to be the best player in this game. He'll take the game over. You don't have to worry about Trey Lance if you're the Colts. The Colts win this game.
Okay, he's going with the Colts. He's going in his guy that failed him last week. Failed him to beat me. Again, without Saquon Barkley, without Russell Wilson, still putting a smack.
Jalen Hurts might be a better fantasy player than Russell Wilson. You're the idiot for playing Russell Wilson over Jalen Hurts. Hey, Jalen Hurts is like the number 4 scoring quarterback.
There were plenty of weeks Russell Wilson outscored him. But here's the game. Like, okay, now we're going in. I'm like, oh, I'll play Jalen Hurts. That's why I picked him, because I knew that Jalen Hurts would be a fantasy core. Why didn't you pick Jalen Hurts if he's so good at fantasy, Dale?
Because I had Dak Prescott. I didn't have. I don't have to pick a quarterback.
Right, because I had Russell Wilson. So we
Russell Wilson's not. Russell Wilson's not.
I had a
Russell Wilson is not a great fantasy quarterback. Russell Wilson is a great real life quarterback. There needs to be a change in fantasy football where
getting wins counts for something.
Not only that, but maybe the running quarterbacks are being overvalued in my opinion. Because Jalen Hurts is not a good in reality quarterback. This is nothing about that. This is a realistic, like
I hear you.
Everybody's looking at Justin Fields and saying, when's he going to run to make him a fantasy? Like the guy's throwing for, they're going to throw for 140 yards. You know, Lamar Jackson, in previous years was throwing for 160 yards and then running for 100. It's like a cheat code. It really is. These are guys are, in some cases are not good real life quarterbacks. And they're out pointing these guys like Russell Wilson, who are great Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
One thing I've always felt that should be considered to make it more, to make count more situational
count football, completions or something,
not just completions, but third down conversions, like things like that. The things that they like that keep up the game and say, hey, did you convert this play here? Did you keep your team in the situation? When did you score? Those type of things. But again, it's fantasy football. That's the whole point, is that it's wacky. It's unpredictable. It's awesome. But when Chris beats Dale, it's accurate. It's not wacky. It's just who was better. That's exactly how that works out.
It's pure luck.
All right, last game here. Monday Night Football, 3-2 Saints at 2-4 Seahawks. Going with the Saints, just the Seahawks are still too hurt up. The Saints are coming off a bye. Not that I really believe in the Saints right now with the way that Jameis Winston is just kind of up and down, or just, he's up when they're playing well and down when he goes with the rising tide. But I think the Saints are just a more complete team while the Seahawks are still too banged up.
Yeah, I think, the Saints are, like you said, coming off of a bye week. They're getting healthier on defense. Their defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they'll control that game, and we'll see. That's a tough place to play.
It is tough.
But I don't know that that's going to be enough to carry the day here. Saints win.
All right. So our splits are, you have the Colts, I have the Niners, you have the Chiefs, I have the Titans, and I think that's it.
You had the Dolphins, I think.
No, see, this is why I can't trust you. This is why you can't be trusted, because you listened to me lecture about how the Dolphins are so bad. They lost to Urban Meyer.
Yeah, you had the Texans. I had the
look at you. See, this is why we can't trust anything you say. Oh my gosh, this guy's getting old up here. He's forgetting things that happened 5 minutes ago. Anyways. Thanks again for listening to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. Remember, you can download this on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Audio, anywhere that podcasts are hosted. All things for free. Check us out and all the great shows that we do at DKPittsburghSports.com. Stay tuned. We have a lot of great stuff coming your way this week, even though the Steelers are on a bye week. Pitt's playing Clemson Saturday. That means I've got the game, and I'll be doing my H2P podcast, getting you a recap of what happened.